This is Trey McBride, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap here with Cody Carpentier, going to be talking to you today about rookie wide receivers, rookie quarterbacks, who knows, rookie running backs heading into the NFL Combine, where we will be next week bringing you live coverage throughout the week from there in Indianapolis, talking to the different coaches, the different GMs, and of course, the different players that are coming into the league. Will also be able to tell you just from boots on the ground, eyes on the players, what we are seeing in the different player workouts there in Lucas Oil. So it's going to be a good time. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel and make sure you're following along, whether it's on the podcast feed or here on YouTube. We certainly do appreciate all y'all. Cody, so a couple things I wanted to talk about today is just my evaluations and sort of where I am as far as Carnell Tate versus Mekhi Lemon versus Jordan Tyson, with KC Concepcion sort of in that mix as well at the top of the wide receiver boards. I understand that Denzel Boston from Washington is in that mix for a lot of people. I've started my evaluation on him. I have not finished my proper evaluation on him. Those will be going up over at Roster Watch throughout the course of the week. Also, you're through most of the running backs that are going to go top 15 or 20 at this point. And those can all be found over at rosterwatch.com as well. I'll just open it up to you, man. As far as, you know, your thoughts right now, you're in the middle of kind of putting some finishing touches on a few of these quarterbacks as we get ready to head to Indy. Where's your head at right now? What are you thinking about? What kind of questions are you looking to get answered as we head to Indianapolis this year, as far as the prospect side?
Well, I think beginning the number one thing at the combine I'll be looking forward to is when we're there and we're charting for the fourth consecutive year, kind of how these guys are running routes, the gauntlet, et cetera. And you'll talk about how you broke down the receivers, but I have that top group of five dudes. I'm going to be very interested to see, you know, if one of them opts out of running routes, if any of them opt out of running 40s, things like this. And really, who's going to separate themselves a little bit? Because I remember a couple of years ago having deep conversations into the night about Rome and Marvin and Malik. And, you know, Marvin didn't do anything. And Rome was a big athlete that day and was like, you know, nose to the grindstone. It's like, I wonder, of these five dudes, who kind of separates themselves? I have Malachi Fields a little bit closer to this group, I think, than the consensus does. But this is the consensus top five dudes. And I just want to really see kind of who separates themselves. Cause right now for me, it's like, it's Carnell Tate and then it's everybody else kind of files in behind him, whichever order you have. I have similar grades in all of them. And then I guess at quarterback is the other thing. I think we already got news that Fernando's not going to throw. So it's going to be pretty much wide open to see what happens here. We have Ty Simpson coming off of an injury. He's expected to throw. Nussmeier's getting healthier by the day from LSU. We got Cole Payton, the lefty from NDSU, who I got done watching last night. And I mean, as far as pure arm talent, you'd be hard pressed to not say he's got pure arm strength, but he's got the fewest just total dropbacks. He's got 300 career dropbacks. And it's like, there's a lot of question there. And then I think the rest of this class, it's going to be underwhelming, but I think that there's adequate QB2, like long-term QB2 play in the class. So I'll just be interested to see if anybody, you know, does like a Joe Fagnano from Connecticut, who really nobody's really seen, but he was like 28 touchdowns, one pick this year. Does he, in this situation at the combine, take a big step forward and everyone goes, whoa, that's a guy that we should be talking about more in the second round or something like this? That's kind of what I'm looking forward to most at the combine next week.
Gun to your head, are you taking Cole Payton from NDSU over Nussmeier from LSU?
You don't have to put a gun to my head. I got Peyton graded about a half point higher than Nussmeier right now.
And a half point means what on your scale?
Like, yeah, I mean, it's the difference between a second round pick and a second third. So it's kind of like top 50 versus like top 65.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, if you, like, this could end up aging, like, really, really bad, because I think that Nussmeier brings a lot of intangibles, you know, coach's kid, all the rest of the stuff. And when he's fully healthy, you know, he could actually be really good, but there's just some definite concerns. And there's also some baked in injury concerns, I think, that you're probably tying into that. But it's just like, even before you bake in those injury concerns, if you just look at these two players off the hoof and just kind of watch them during Senior Bowl practices, I think it's pretty clear which one has the more live arm.
That's the number one thing too. And like, we've heard a couple rumors of like, hey, like, one of the key things we really got to check on during the combine is going to go a long way in how this draft unfolds at the quarterback position is Nussmeier's you know, testing and MRIs and things of this nature that we won't get the results for a couple of weeks. We won't know about, but that's supposedly a big question mark surrounding it. Also note that Cole Payton broke his left thumb, his throwing hand thumb, on December 8th and made it back for the Senior
Bowl. Did he really?
A month and a half later. And now he's got another month of throwing. And like you said, that dude's, as far as live arms, I watched Nussmeier and Payton back to back yesterday. And I mean, I was, the comp, people aren't going to hate the comp here, but like Brett Hundley, Justin Fields for Cole Payton, right? And both guys, really strong arms. Fields, obviously a little erratic there, but Fields got a pretty big arm for himself. Nussmeier was more for me like in the Brock Purdy kind of Max Dugan kind of conversation as far as that goes. But I like Nussmeier. It's just that, and the 2024 stuff is also just significantly different from what his arm brings to the table as well. Like, as the season went on this year, obviously he dealt with a lot of injury stuff at LSU, but if you go back and just watch, like, you just any 2024 game, you can just tell different levels of intent from Nussmeier. And just overall, I would say, like, missing less. He missed a lot high this year at times. Release was better last year. Like, it's just overall. So I'm just really interested to see kind of like another month. You already, he threw at the Senior Bowl, being banged up another month, what that has done for his maturation, I guess, through the process as well.
The questions that I want answered are about the 40 times of these guys that are at the top of the wide receiver class.
More than running back.
Yeah, well, I don't – here's one other thing, too. Just let me get it off. I've been saying this 2026 Dynasty rookie class is not good, and it's not going to be as good as 2027, right? But the more and more I get into these wide receivers, like, it's an abysmal running back class. It's looking like an abysmal running back class just from pure feature bell cow types of guys, right? I think even the guy that we're going to end up having is running back two. Now, I don't know who that's going to be because I'm not done with the evaluations, but whether it's, say, Jadarian Price, whether it's Emmett Johnston, whether it's Mike Washington Jr., Jonah Coleman, any of these guys, right? Every single one of these players profiles as a committee back who, yeah, if they did get volume, possibly they could do something with it over the course of a few weeks for fantasy or something like that. But it's pretty obvious to me that Jeremiah Love is the one running back who comes in and people would think of him like, okay, well, that's a team drafting him represents a team drafting a Bijan or a Leonard Fournette or a Ezekiel Elliott or, you know, a Gurley, like the type of player where you draft them, you bring them in to be your running back, you know, your running back one. Optimally, you'd probably like to have somebody that would be a running back mate along with them to just not have everything on them. But everybody knows what's what here, right? As soon as running back two, that the idea that falls off. Whereas at the wide receivers, I'm having a hard time choosing. But so –
cut it off when you're tired of them. You can't. Like, it's deep.
Yeah, I'm just like, well, I definitely have arbitrary. I definitely have these kind of, not arbitrary, but I definitely do have sort of tiers where, say, Carnell Tate, Casey Concepcion, Mekhi Lemon, Jordan Tyson, not in that order at all, right? And then Denzel Boston, from what I've seen from the very beginning of my work on him, I think he's going to be in that tier. But I do know that I have a hard time even choosing my number one right now. I think it's Carnell Tate. And I think it's Carnell Tate just because of how quarterback friendly he is, how smart he is. I look at him and I just think, okay, this is a long levered, smart, ultra dependable outside receiver, great late hands, just creates easy windows for his quarterback, does everything well, already plays like a pro, elite ball skills. He reminds me of like a DeAndre Hopkins. He reminds you of a George Pickens. That type of player, I think, is, you know, he's got the highest passer rating when targeted in all of college football last year. I mean, that kind of player is zero drops. It's just very, very clean. And so I think I have him in first, but then it's like, who do you have him in first in front of? Whenever he wasn't even the number one wide receiver on his team, that was Jeremiah Smith. You have him first. You have him first ahead of Mekhi Lemon, who was the Biletnikoff Award winner this last year, PFF's highest graded receiver of the whole year. You know what I mean? Four total drops on 183 targets over three seasons at USC. I mean, framing, adjustment ability, overall ball skills, 2.75 yards per team pass attempt. It's the second best in the 2026 rookie wide receiver class. He's a former DB who, like, you could tell he's a former DB too, right? Understands inside versus outside coverage, cushion, drop depth, hip orientation, flat defender expansion timing. It's like all this stuff. He's savvy, right? It's like, and then you get to Jordan Tyson, and the only negative on this dude's entire profile is that his health. He tore his ACL, MCL, and PCL at Colorado in 2022. Horrible knee injury. Missed all of 2023. Then in 2024, that's why we didn't see him in the CFP. He hurt his collarbone. But he was the 2024 Big 12 Newcomer of the Year. He was banged up. He had two hamstrings, one on each hamstring in 2025. So he's played 30 games in 4 years of college. But you look at him and just like the event, like super advanced route pacing, great leverage awareness. Another guy is super quarterback friendly. I just think he's a dynamic, high volume, high level route runner, wins from any alignment, rare lateral suddenness, instant separation ability, strong attack the ball mentality. The alignment versatility reminds me of a Chris Godwin. The way he plays reminds me of a Godwin. So here we have I have a Carnell Tate that reminds me of a Hopkins Pickens. I have a Jordan Tyson that reminds me of something somewhere of like the Chris Godwin range of things. I have, and then I have Mekhi Lemon, who reminds me of like a mini sort of. He reminds me of Amon Ross St. Brown. And I know that that's the same thing with the uniforms. And these are all really good players. And then you add into the mix KC, who from A&M, who reminds me of like a Jordan Addison type. And I'm just like, well, all those sound really good to me. And then that's before you, and after those guys. So, and then we have Denzel Boston. And then you have, you like Malachi Fields. I'm not as into Malachi Fields from Notre Dame as you are, because he feels like he seems to bring zero after the catch. I just compare that to like a guy like Zachariah Branch, who I've been huge on ever since he was coming out of high school, right? And I just think about, all right, so we have Branch in this class too. What if Zachariah Branch goes somewhere and gets used? What if somebody cracks the code on him the same way that Andy Reid did with Tyreek Hill? Zachariah Branch has the opportunity to be like an elite wide receiver one. You have Brennan Thompson, who might break the combine record. You have Skylar Bell, from Connecticut, who shows up in every advanced statistic that you can possibly note. His yards per team pass attempt, best in the whole class. He has over three as far as the yards per route run.
Omar, he was a Biletnikoff finalist with Lemon and Smith, by the way.
I'm telling you, man, you have Omar Cooper Jr., who you can make an awesome case about from Indiana. All it takes for him, you don't even need to show the casuals a highlight reel. Just show them the one catch. What was that catch versus Iowa?
Penn State.
What?
Penn State.
I mean, and that's before you even start talking about the Jeremy Bernards or the Chris Brazzles. And like, this is a deep wide receiver class, man. I want to see how everybody runs. I want to see if there are separators, because in our sheet you have listed, you think that Jordan Tyson's going to run a 4.56. I don't think that that's right. I think all these guys run in the 4.4s. Tate, Lemon, Tyson, Casey Concepcion, Boston. I think Branch runs in the 4.3s. Yeah, so you have him there.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation. You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Tyson's running the 4.5s. I bet you a dollar on that.
You think he's going to run the 4.5s?
He'll run the 4.5s.
What? How are you so sure that he's going to run in the 4.5s and Denzel Boston's going to run a 4.44?
When you get done with Boston, let me know. I think you'll think he's faster.
You think that Jordan Tyson is slower than Malachi Fields? I will make that bet with you right this instant.
That's not what the bet is.
No, but what I am trying to do is show off your bias here towards Malachi Fields, because you have him as a 4.54 and Tyson's a 4.56.
Okay, let me
whenever you do not believe that Malachi is going to run faster than Jordan Tyson.
I do. I think it's going to be close.
Then let's make a bet.
That's you're trying to manipulate me into a different bet than what you just laid out. You just told me that Tyson was going to run the 4.4s.
I think he will.
Okay, I think he's going to demolish.
Okay, so you like okay, all right. So give me better odds. Like give me both bets.
All right, both then.
Okay, Jimmy John sandwiches.
Sure.
All right, so Jimmy John sandwich on, and I would say Jersey Mike's, but there's a Jimmy John's right next to where our condo is in Indy. So the this will be easy to collect on. It'll be
Panera breakfast. How about Panera breakfast?
I hate Panera.
You go to Panera every morning
just because it's the closest place to get iced tea. But I'm not gonna go this year now that we found that that Chick-fil-A.
All right, that's the bet.
Let's lay out the bet. Jordan Tyson runs in the 4.4s. I get that. Jordan Tyson runs faster than Malachi Fields. I get that.
Okay. All right. Two different bets. We're probably going to split even. So we'll see. I probably should adjust that. I think they're really close nonetheless. I got multiple questions about the way you laid out the top dudes and about these guys. So your argument, I guess, around Tate and Lemon seems to be the most pivotal, right? And I think you bring in the Tyson thing that has a big conversation point, which is injury, consecutive years, right? And They're, you know, ACL, MCL, it's hamstring, which correlates to ACL, MCL, and collarbone, which can be freak injuries. But he has the history in the family of professional sports, right? Coordinator at South Alabama, you said, and then his brother plays in the NBA. And when you watch Tyson, it's really not a question of when he's on the field and you're watching what type of a player that can be. My grades
Can I say one thing about Tyson too? It's not even about Tyson. This is just a wildly out of left field take. Sam Levitt is going to be killer at LSU.
That next year's quarterback class is going to be a record-setting first round.
I mean, I know that I think Tyson makes it easy on quarterbacks, but Levitt sure makes it easy to make things easy on him. So that kid is good.
So it's not far. I mean, you brought up Godwin. I comped him to Tyler Boyd. People hate my Tyler Boyd comp. I put it on Twitter the other day, and they're like, that's so bad. That's so stupid. It's like people forget. I mean, I know Michael Thomas was hurt a lot, but Tyler Boyd finished right around Michael Thomas in all-time receiving yards in their careers. And everyone's like, well, that's a number three. You're saying that Tyson's a number three. Well, Boyd isn't a three on every football team in the NFL. He's actually a one in some situations because he was behind T. Higgins and Chase. That's that. But when you watch Tyson, when that guy's healthy, like it's not that far off to say, all right, best range of outcomes for all these dudes would be Tyson fulfilling a prophecy of being a Justin Jefferson type. Like, it wouldn't be that hard to stretch that and say that can happen. I'm not arguing that. My grades for Tyson, for Boston, for Lemon are almost identical. They're side by side. They're three different players completely. But what I want to bring into this conversation is you brought up Mekhi Lemon, who wins the Biletnikoff Award this year, over Jeremiah Smith, who was the guy that was the one for Ohio State, which was with Carnell Tate, right? And has been the one there for 2 years.
You have a vote in that thing, don't you?
What?
Do you have a vote in that?
Yes, I voted for Jeremiah Smith.
Okay.
Because Jeremiah Smith deserved it. He deserved it last year, he deserved it this year, and he'll deserve it next year. Mekhi Lemon, by the way, the fewest receiving yards since 1994 to win the Biletnikoff Award. That was the first ever Biletnikoff Award. That was Bobby Engram from Penn State. The fewest receiving yards amongst Biletnikoff Award winners. So just so we're clear here, like, I do believe Jeremiah Smith should have been the Biletnikoff Award winner. So if you're correlating this to that conversation, I'm saying that using him being the Biletnikoff Award winner, I think is okay. But also, let's give Carnell Tate the credit that he was playing with the Biletnikoff Award winner. And what some are saying is the freak of the generation at the wide receiver position coming out next year. And if whoever's drafting number one doesn't need quarterback next year, like, that's your guy. And everybody's looking at him as the Julio, the Randy, right, the AJ Green, that level of a guy. So I think that Carnell Tate should get that credit while also playing with Emeka Egbuka last year, right? Egbuka got the credit. Egbuka was drafted in the first round last year and performed very well with Tampa. I have one worry with Lemon, right? And it is
– it's my same worry.
Jacoby Lane dominated – red zone opportunities last year. He took him over this year. Lemon did. He had 11 touchdowns to Lane's four.
Yes.
I worry about Lemon from the perspective of, we've talked about this before the show. I think he's going to be smaller featured. I think it's going to be almost a Josh Downs like situation.
Yeah.
He's not Josh Downs, but I think you're going to show up there. Oh. I think you're going to go, damn.
Oh my gosh. He's small.
Oh my gosh, his features are smaller. Like, he's not going to have 28-inch arms, but they're not going to be 31, right? He's not going to be 5'11 and 3/4. He's going to be 5'09.7. That's what I'm worried about. I hope I'm wrong because I love the player on the football field. But I think that when you look at this whole group and when we're going into the NFL Combine and we get these numbers and we see these guys run, and I think he's going to run fine. I think that those are – when we're splitting hairs amongst this group and you're saying, all right – look at this, look at this, look at this. You're going to say Mekhi Lemon, 5097, 191. You're going to go, that is a legitimate, you know, Wandale Robinson slot receiver, which is really good and can catch 12 footballs a game and is a little more dynamic than Wandale.
That's the one thing about him is, like, that's the thing. That's the other thing about the other thing about Lemon is, like, I don't have the – do I have the exact number pulled up as far as his slot usage? It was – it's pretty. I mean, I have him written up as a straight slot receiver, right? Just basically a sturdy dynamo of a slot receiver. Yep. So it's like that definitely is, you know, what we've seen is that his frame and his body type, they clearly point to a slot heavy role at the NFL level, which could limit route participation to some degree. Although, it could be something like with, you know, like in the case of Amon-Ra St. Brown, where he starts out like that and then they go to 12 personnel and they just leave the slot guy out there anyway because he's better than the typical outside guys. But that does, from a profile standpoint, it does worry you that, I mean, he profiles in the slot, man. He certainly does.
And that's, I mean, I think you put him in the slot. You got Branch from Georgia. You got Cooper from Indiana. Antonio Williams from Clemson. And I think they're all going to be good football players. But I don't know how to say this nicely other than to say, like, I think he's a really, 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 really good football player. And all the advanced metrics agree, right? And he did it while playing with another draftable player that I think probably should have went back in Jacoby Lane. Did it with a really good quarterback who's going to come out next year in Jade Maiava in a good offense. And at a young age, I think his breakout was around 19 and a half or 20, or was I wrong? 19 and a half or 20. But when it's in this class with a Tate, with a Concepcion, who I think is going to be taller than him, They're listed, both listed at 5'11". I think Concepcion is going to be taller than him. And that's kind of where it comes in. I watch these guys back to back and I'm like, listen, man, this Concepcion thing from Texas A&M, like he was a two with Craver.
He wouldn't.
And other things going on with a really bad quarterback. Marcel Reed was really tough. He's like
Casey Concepcion had technically he was the number one stat wise.
But as far as like the I would say as far as how the role looked that they used.
Am I wrong? I mean, I know Craver was good, but like I think the Casey.
I'm not talking statistically. I'm talking about how they play on the football field. Like I think he's a guy that presents ability to be an X. He is my favorite. He is my favorite flavor. Maybe that's why I lean more into it, but that's also why I should like Lemon. That's why I'm a little worried about Lemon, because Lemon like profiles to me as a pure slot and not a guy that can be a dynamo going outside like a Chase, like a Neighbors, like a Diggs, right? In that conversation, that's where I worry. Whereas like I see Concepcion, that's why I have Concepcion graded a little bit higher, is I see more of that outside play. I see more of that dynamism that we saw at NC State. You've talked about it with Mac Brown and the North Carolina situation, but a guy that as a true freshman had 839 yards and 10 touchdowns, along with 41 rush attempts. Like I just see more in the Concepcion bag for upside in that conversation between these two guys that are very similar in the top five conversation. Then you have the other guys in the Tysons, the Bostons, and the Carnell Tates, which are 6'2 and 6'3, and just profile a little bit different than those two guys. But that's kind of my splitting hairs there. And I guess my overall question would be like, would you be holding the Biletnikoff thing as much? Like I think there should be more credit given to Carnell Tate, being that he's playing with the Greek god of the century in Jeremiah Smith. And you know, it's like I said, numbers wise, like Lemon's been impressive. Yards per out run, yards per team pass attempt, everything's there. Total team production, I think he was second in the class or third in the class behind Montgomery from John Carroll and Skylar Bell from Connecticut. But also Skylar Bell was like the only target for Fegnano to throw to last year. Those two guys, but those two guys were Skylar Bell from Connecticut and Lemon, who are two of the top three. We'll just call it two because John Carroll's D3. So we'll call it the top two guys in total team production last year were finalists for the Biletnikoff Award. And then you have Jeremiah Smith, who, again, Carnell Tate still had 23% of the team's total production with Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah, no, I get it. And, you know, you mentioned quarterback play, and that's probably something that you might want to put an extra arrow in your quiver to talk about when you talk about your Casey Concepcion bags, because after watching Jordan Tyson today, I come away saying like Levitt's going to be awesome. And we know about Julian Sain there from Carnell Tate. And we, you know, Cody, you just talked about Maiava, and you know what I mean? Like these are players who are really good. You look at what Casey Concepcion had to deal with and Marcel Reed, and can't say quite as much about him.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed, plus an extra $100 off all mattresses. End Saturday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.